This is an interview with Governor Attia. This is tape 61, side 2.
He asked about advice. I guess that the only thing I would really say is that I would like Oregonians to be a little more sophisticated in regard to, I'm going to say, politics. But I mean like ballot measure 5 kind of things. The superficially being swayed by silver-tongued politicians. You know, to say that what I'm about to do is pretty darn serious, so I better pay a little bit of attention at this point in time. You know, don't be embarrassed by being proud of the country. Don't be embarrassed by saying that you're proud to be an American. Think just a little bit once in a while. I'm not asking Oregonians to make this a full-time study. Think every once in a while about the benefits we have. Think less about these are my rights and a little bit more about what are my responsibilities.
What advice would you give to aspiring politicians or public servants?
Same, but that's easier because I've said it a number of times. If you're in this for your ego, if you're in this because you want to improve your business, I'd just as soon you stay out. If you're in this because you want to give something to Oregon, that you want to make Oregon a better state, then God bless you and I hope you win.
Is there a way you could sum up your own personal philosophy of life? Or your spiritual beliefs?
No, I don't think so. I'll let somebody else do the summing. I really tried to live my life as straightforward and honestly as I could. Continue that. I won't do anything. I won't try to do something indirectly I can't do directly. Certainly I always respect other people. I may disagree with them. If I don't particularly like them, then I don't get angry about it. That may be the last time I'll see them. And those are my choices. But I think really life itself is less than what have I gotten for me than what I have done for others. I think that's the greatest measurement. What have I done for others? That involves, you know, Boy Scouts, the Pan America Society, being governor, or whatever. Everyone isn't going to be governor. Everyone isn't going to be in the legislature. Everyone isn't going to be a mayor or city council or county commission. Isn't it wonderful? We've got coaches for Little League. We've got Sunday school teachers. We've got people that meal on wheels. I still remember. I went down to a church in Salem one day. They invited me to have lunch at the place where the people can come and have lunch, and also the people come on Meals on Wheels. That morning it turned very cold and it was icy out. I'm walking to the church very gingerly to go down the steps to go inside the building, and yet here the folks showed up on the Meal on Wheels and they were picking up the food and they were going to go out and deliver it. And I mean, it was treacherous. This is not kidding. There's real treacherous out there. Well, you know, that's what I mean. That's the measuring of it. I was just at the Fred Meyer Classic and people volunteered to be marshals out there. That's not an easy job. I mean, sure, you get a shirt and a pair of pants and you get to go and see the great golfers. That's fine. But my goodness, they're there, pick up cigarette butts and paper and to make sure that the people are treated well. And but on it goes. I can't go the whole litany of things. Volunteerism is almost a unique thing in the United States. I've said people don't appreciate volunteers, and there is one way in which you truly appreciate them, and yet it'll never happen. And that is if all volunteers in the United States quit for 1 week, all volunteers quit for 1 week, then you'd realize the impact of what they're, but volunteers can't do that. They won't quit. They're going to keep going. Well, I'm talking too long on it. I really believe that's part of that really the measure of life is not what have I acquired for myself, but what have I given to others. And that's lasting.
How do you look upon this stage of life? Some people get offended by senior citizens.
No. You can't help but count. You know darn well I'm at age 70, you know. You know you don't have another 40 or 50 years. And so you know that within a relatively short period of time, who knows, you know, that's all going to be done with. But I must say that you sit back and with a satisfied smile on your face and start kind of counting the gold. You know, I was governor, I was a senator, I was president of this or that or something, you know, the gold chest. I'm satisfied that I conducted life as I think life should be conducted, although with not totally fallible. I'll still come back to the fact that I look back when my children was growing and Dolores was doing the raising and I was doing all kinds of other things, and I say, gee whiz, that wasn't right, and this is not a blameless life of mine. I know that, but still, conducted it better than most. And maybe it's something that was in my mind, you know, a lot of people live and die and nobody ever knew they were on Earth. Well, at least whenever they make a list of who the governors were, that name of Ficatia is going to show up. And there's a mark there somewhere that indeed there was somebody by that name that was here on Earth at one time. That's kind of nice to know. Doesn't do me any good once I'm planted, but it's nice to know we're leaving that behind. I think my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you know, they'll be proud that their grandpa or great-grandpa, whoever it was governor of Oregon at one time. That's not bad.
Not to sound grim, and I've never asked this from anyone before, but what would you like your obituary to say? The paper.
Oh, they'll say all kinds of things. It's interesting. I know that the obituary is basically written, you know, because they know that that's a big event when a governor dies. I really would hope, and I've said it before, I would hope that somebody would note that I really care, really care.
So you would like what again?
They would note that I really did care. I cared about people, cared about the state. I cared and loved my wife and my children. Not in a phony sense, I mean genuinely cared. That'd be kind of nice if they would notice that.
Well, do you have anything else to add, to comment on, to say? Any other thoughts?
No. Maybe a little insight as to what appeals to me.
Please.
I have this thing I call whimsy, wit, and wisdom. But it'd be kind of interesting. I don't know, you know, it's kind of, maybe there's an insight here. But some of the things I've kept track of. There are two kinds of people who don't say much. those who are quiet and those who talk a lot. He's as memorable as Whistler's father. Lincoln, he commented once after listening to a lengthy speech, I never saw so many words compressed into so small an idea. Power is not taken away from people, they abdicate it, they give it away. Those are among the things I've got, these different things. That
these came from where?
Here, there, yeah. Everywhere. Some of my thoughts, mostly some that maybe I heard from somebody else. The in a temple in northern Honshu island of Japan, I wrote this down, the summer grass tills all that's left of an ancient warrior's dream. I thought that said a lot. Direct your efforts more to preparing youth for the path and less to preparing the path for the youth. That was Judge Ben Lindsay had said that. There is one that I really thought was great. I like these little jokes. That's part of the... Under communism, you have to wait 15 years to buy a car. With capitalism, you get the car right away, but it takes 15 years to pay for it. What's the difference between communism and capitalism? In capitalism, man exploits man. Under communism, it's the other way around. Then a young lady at a conference where it was happened to be a Middle East type conference, she said, I went to Israel and came back from Palestine. And Lincoln, of course, this is really good. By assuring the freedom of the slave, we assure the freedom of the free. I've got notes on what the national debt is and how huge it is. There was one here that I thought was particularly good. Happened to be Martin Luther King. While I'm looking for it, an Indian treaty is not a grant of rights to the Indians, but a grant of rights from them. That's a U.S. Supreme Court. It's easier to cool a zealot than warm a corpse. Another one I can recall is that it is better to say, this was a black man giving a speech, it is better to say, I are rich than I am poor. And Clark Kerr said, in dealing with their own problems, faculty members are the most extreme conservatives. In dealing with other people's problems, they are the world's most extreme liberals. This is interesting. Doing for people what they can and ought to do for themselves is a dangerous experiment. In the last analysis, the welfare of the workers depend upon their own initiative. Whatever is done under the guise of philanthropy or social morality, which in any way lessens initiative, is the greatest crime that can be committed against the toiler. Let social busybodies and professional public morals experts in their fads reflect on the perils they rashly invite under this pretense of social welfare. Now, having read that to you, the person that said it was Samuel Gompers, father of the American labor movement. The Lord's Prayer has 56 words. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address has 266 words. The Ten Commandments have 297 words. The Declaration of Independence has 300. A recent U.S. government order setting the price of cabbage as 26,911 words. when we take man as he is, we make him worse. That when we take man as if he were already what he should be, we promote him to what he can be. And that's Goethe. But I'm still trying to find. I've got what? Why are there more Democrats? But yeah, this one maybe it relates to me and who I am, how I deal with politics. A man was asking the manager of Willie Hoppy, that great and perennial billiard champion, how come Willie always wins his matches? Simple, said the manager. His opponent is always playing Willie, and Willie is always playing billiards. That's, I guess you keep an eye on the ball. Well, gosh. It was a good one and I kept it. Another thing that I think you've heard, but I've said it many times, a person understands the meaning of life when they plant a tree under the shade of which they know they will never sit. Well, I'll be darned.
This stretches out over a number of years, I take it.
Oh my, yes. Oh yes.
You think you'll ever publish it as a collection of...
Oh, I don't know if anybody would be. Maybe. It runs the gamut of things. Some jokes, some things that have... Here we are. This is Dr. Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. On some positions, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? There comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular. But he must take it because conscience says it is right. Now that's good stuff. No farmer ever plowed a field by turning it over in his mind. We are all made of the same clay, but a jug is not a vase. It's like putting your ear to the ground in the middle of a buffalo stampede. Well, anyway, there's more of this sort of thing. Be modest. A lot was accomplished before you were born.
It's like a saying I saw in a U.S. post office yesterday that said, be patient for what you do not have and be thankful that you're not getting what you deserve.
You know, there's marvelous little tidbits, and I picked them over, you know, from time to time. There's one I just recently sent to, Winston Churchill. Some see private enterprise as a predatory target to be shot, others as a cow to be milked, but a few see it as a sturdy horse pulling the wagon. That's not bad. And then my friend George Shaw, the great quarterback, he says, I started out with nothing and I have most of it left.
Is that the way you feel?
No, but you know, you hear something and you write it down. And, you know, some made me laugh, like that one just made you laugh and made me laugh. And so I keep track of stuff like that. And you know, a lot of it, everything isn't heavy with morality. I've got here the Clinton cabinet. Transportation is Ted Kennedy. Housing is Leona Helmsley. Labor is Anita Hill. Defense is Rodney King. And you know, I got stuff like that. The family advisor is Woody Allen. Treasurer is Charles Keating. So there's, you know, stuff in there just because it's kind of funny. This is it. Garrison Keillor, is that how you'd pronounce it?
Yes. Some home companion.
Yeah, some luck lies in not getting what you thought you wanted, but getting what you have, which, when you have got it, you may be smart enough to see it as what you would have wanted had you known. So, it's a long way of saying that, you know, you really are probably better off than you think you are. And then Debs Potts said, good judgment comes from experience. And experience, well, that comes from poor judgment. Well, you don't want to spend the whole tape on that, but that's a smattering of things that some are funny, some have a message.
Anything else you'd like to share?
No. I think we've shared as much as I think anybody could tolerate.
Well, I'm sure you have a lot more to say.
I don't know about that. I will say, well, for the tape, it's been a real pleasure. And I mean it. And you leave that on the tape. And I'm impressed with the homework that you've done prior to the time we have interviews, which shows you put a lot of work into getting ready to talk to me. And I would also say for the tape, I feel very sorry for you, whoever's ever transcribing this thing.
Well, thank you very much for your cooperation on this and all the time you've put in on this. It's a lot to expect from anyone, and it will be a valuable resource for many people for years and years to come.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with it. People look through it, and I know that whoever listens to it say, well, that's his opinion. Maybe I would say one final thing that I've said many times, and I think I said it on the tape. Don't read between the lines. George Bush said, read my lips. You know, too often people will say, well, that's what he said, but this is what he meant. No, well, I said what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for saying it.
You're welcome.